Welcome to the deep dive. We have a massive stack of material on the table today.
Huge stack.
Yeah, spanning industry reports, technological analyses, market forecasts, and it is all centered on the global customer care and artificial intelligence landscape.
Right.
And we are looking at this specifically through the lens of where we are right now, navigating the very, very complex reality of 2026.
It is definitely complex right now.
So the mission for today's deep dive is straightforward. We want to cut straight through the sci-fi hype that usually dominates AI discussions.
We hear so much of that.
Way too much. We want to map out what is actually happening in the trenches of customer experience right now. We're going to use this material as our guide to understanding how businesses are fundamentally transforming their underlying architecture.
And how it affects the consumer.
Exactly. How your own everyday interactions with brands are shifting in real time. Because they are shifting for all of us.
They really are.
Yeah.
And to accurately assess where we stand in 2026, we have to look at the immediate rearview mirror. We are officially transitioning out of an era of, well, I'd call it experimental enthusiasm.
That's a polite way of putting it.
Right. If you think back to the 2024 and 2025 hype cycle, the corporate strategy was essentially to deploy LLMs everywhere. Just bolt chatbots on it, every possible surface.
It was a total gold rush. Just throw AI at the wall and see what sticks.
Exactly. But Forrester's latest framing dramatically labels 2026 as the year of unglamorous work.
The year of unglamorous work. I like that.
I think that framing is perfect because knowledge is most valuable when it's structurally applied. The companies that are going to survive this current phase aren't the ones distracted by shiny new generative tools.
Right.
They are the ones doing the heavy, deeply unsexy operational lifting. The work required to turn AI from a novelty into reliable core infrastructure.
Okay, let's unpack this because unglamorous work doesn't exactly align with the utopian AI rollout the industry predicted a few years ago.
No, not at all.
But there's a highly revealing metric in our sources here that explains the sudden shift in behavior. Right now, 91% of customer service leaders are under immense top-down pressure to show tangible ROI from their AI initiatives.
91%. That is almost everybody.
It's massive. The C-suite is essentially looking at the capital expenditure of the last 2 years and demanding measurable operational returns. They want to see the money.
And that extreme pressure is exactly what creates a massive operational trap. When leaders are pushed to show immediate ROI, the instinct is to just rush the deployment, automate whatever is currently in front of them.
Just to get something out the door.
Right. And the fatal flaw here is that they end up trying to automate processes that are already structurally broken or entirely obsolete.
Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg.
Or putting a state-of-the-art jet engine on a horse-drawn carriage. Rushing this fails because AI, I mean, no matter how advanced it is, it cannot fix a fundamentally flawed workflow.
It just does the broken thing faster.
Exactly. It will only execute that flawed workflow with devastating speed and scale.
Which is terrifying when you think about it. And that structural paradox leads to a really interesting phenomenon in the data. If an organization is going through this transition right now, they should actually brace for a noticeable drop in CSAT scores.
Yes, customer satisfaction takes a hit.
Which is incredibly counterintuitive. You're pouring all this capital into a system designed to improve the user experience, and your immediate reward is alienated customers.
It is counterintuitive on the surface, sure, but it makes perfect structural sense when you examine the mechanics of a massive technological transition. Deploying this architecture at enterprise scale is inherently messy.
Very messy.
What we are seeing in the market is that organizations are over-automating complex or highly emotional customer requests.
Right, the stuff that needs a human touch.
Exactly. When a customer is dealing with a nuanced, escalating issue, maybe they're really upset and they get trapped in a deterministic automated loop without a functional human safety net, it absolutely destroys brand trust.
We've all been there, trapped in the phone tree from hell, but now it's an AI chatbot that won't let you talk to a person.
Right. That drop in CSAT is the temporary but very real pain of a badly managed transition.
So the obvious question for you is, how do you manage it correctly? What does the unglamorous work actually entail for an enterprise today?
It requires going deep into the digital basement. It means manually cleaning up fragmented knowledge databases. Mm. You have to make sure the models actually have clean, accurate, and deduplicated information to pull from.
Someone has to actually organize the files.
Yes. And it involves HR and procurement actively renegotiating vendor contracts to strip out overlapping, redundant tech bloat. Fundamentally, it's about radically simplifying the legacy tech stack. You have to clear the operational debris before the AI can function as intended.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. While companies are busy doing that internal basement cleanup, they are suddenly facing a massive external pressure test. We are seeing the widespread invasion of consumer AI agents.
The bots are coming from inside the house, so to speak.
Exactly. It's no longer just enterprise brands wielding AI. Everyday consumers have realized they can unleash their own personal AI bots into the wild to interact with corporate systems on their behalf.
It levels the playing field.
Completely. People are deploying personal agents to automatically buy concert tickets the microsecond they go on sale. They're entering massive volumes of online sweepstakes. Or relentlessly negotiating refunds with airline chatbots.
And the scale of this external pressure is staggering. The data indicates that this consumer-driven bot activity has the potential to cause traffic spikes up to 100 times normal operational levels.
100 times. That's a DDoS attack, basically.
It essentially is.
Yeah.
If a brand's support infrastructure is suddenly hit with an automated tsunami of perfectly formatted synthetic complaints and requests, it can entirely paralyze their operations.
Just gridlock.
Total gridlock. This dynamic has forced the creation of a highly critical new cybersecurity discipline known as agent trust management.
Agent trust management. It sounds like a digital bouncer at the door of the customer service department.
That's a great analogy.
But how does a system actually score trust in real time? Like, if I am a customer furiously typing out a complaint because my flight was canceled, how does the system know I'm not a bot? Or conversely, how does it handle actual bots without blocking legitimate requests?
Especially when 80% of these agents aren't natively identifying themselves to the host system.
Wait, 80%? They're just pretending to be human.
Basically, yes. They don't announce they're an AI. That is the exact technical hurdle. It requires real-time behavioral analytics and highly sophisticated routing strategies.
Wow.
The system has to differentiate between a helpful, legitimate assistant, say, a user running Perplexity to query a store's return policy, versus a malicious data scraper trying to steal pricing info, versus a legitimate human who desperately needs an intervention.
And once you've scored them and figured out who is who, the routing becomes the next bottleneck. You obviously can't put a consumer bot on hold and play elevator music for it.
No, bots don't care about hold music. The strategy relies on specialized routing. Legitimate bots are instantly identified and routed to asynchronous API processing queues.
So a totally separate lane.
Yes. You can think of this as a machine-to-machine backdoor where data is exchanged instantly without tying up front-end resources. This architectural split is vital because it keeps the traditional voice lines and live chat queues completely open for actual humans who require immediate empathetic assistance.
That strict division between human-to-human and machine-to-machine interactions highlights the broader architectural shift we are seeing in 2026. We are aggressively moving away from generative AI and stepping into the era of agentic AI.
This is perhaps the most pivotal technical transition of the decade. Generative AI, which dominated the last few years, is fundamentally conversational. It generates text, it summarizes, it predicts the next logical sequence of words.
It talks.
Exactly, it talks. But agentic AI is an entirely different paradigm. It is goal-oriented. It doesn't just converse. It plans, sequences, and most importantly, it executes actions across multiple systems.
To ground that in a practical scenario for you listening, an agentic AI isn't just going to politely provide you with a hyperlink to a refund policy. It is designed to autonomously log into the billing system, cross-reference your purchase history, process the refund, update the central account ledger, and trigger the receipt email.
All on its own.
Right. Navigating across entirely disconnected legacy systems without needing a human to click a single button. It's moving from a conversational interface to an actual functional digital worker.
And the trajectory for this adoption is remarkably steep. Gartner predicts that by the year 2028, 15% of all daily enterprise work decisions will be made entirely autonomously by AI agents.
15% of all decisions.
We were talking about decisions executed without any human intervention or oversight. Just happening in the background.
But for an autonomous agent to securely jump between a legacy billing system, a cloud inventory database, and an enterprise email server, the underlying technical backbone has to be incredibly robust.
It has to be airtight.
If we unpack the alphabet soup of protocols making this possible, it's clear the industry is frantically trying to build a standardized infrastructure. Let's look at A2A, the agent-to-agent protocol, for instance.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, A2A is foundational. It originated at Google, but is now open source under the Linux Foundation. The entire purpose of A2A is to prevent massive, isolated vendor silos.
So everyone can talk to everyone.
Precisely. It provides a standardized framework that allows a Microsoft-built agent to securely communicate, collaborate, and even hand off tasks to a Salesforce-built agent. Without A2A, agentic AI would just be a series of incredibly smart bots trapped in their own walled gardens.
Which brings us to MCP, the Model Context Protocol. Without a standardized context protocol, an AI is essentially flying blind when it attempts to pull external data. MCP standardizes exactly how these agents reach out to databases and file systems so they actually understand the environment they are operating in.
Right. And layer that with agent cards in JSON RPC 2.0. You can think of agent cards as dynamic digital business cards for bots.
I love that concept. Business cards for bots.
It's exactly what it is. They allow agents operating within a network to dynamically discover what other agents are capable of executing. But what is truly fascinating here, and I admit this is where the architecture gets incredibly elegant, is the evolution of how we actually store the knowledge these agents consume. We are seeing the rise of what are called data molecules.
I knew we'd get to data molecules. You get so excited about this part.
I do. It completely redefines database architecture.
It really does solve a massive problem.
Traditionally, a database holds raw static text. But a data molecule is a self-composing data packet. It encapsulates not just the raw text, but all of the associated metadata, the strict business rules, and the quality signals securely attached to that specific piece of information.
So it carries its own instructions.
Exactly. When an AI agent accesses a data molecule, the rules of engagement are baked directly into the data itself. The AI no longer has to infer context or risk hallucinating an answer based on raw text. The molecule dictates exactly how that data can and cannot be used.
So if we play this out, you have A2A protocols preventing silos. You have MCP providing context. And data molecules ensuring the agentic AI never hallucinates the business rules.
That's the stack.
If 80% of routine interactions are successfully automated by this infrastructure, what is the strategic play for the human workforce? Gartner's research notes that 84% of customer service leaders are actively adding new competencies to their human agents. They aren't just cutting headcount.
No, they are fundamentally upgrading the human role. The era of the human script reader is entirely over.
Yeah, goodness.
Right. The workforce is transitioning into what the industry defines as complexity resolvers. When the automated architecture successfully handles the routine 80% of volume, the 20% that actually bleeds through to a human is going to be incredibly complex.
Deeply emotionally charged.
Highly ethically nuanced.
Yeah.
The human is retained specifically to manage empathy, navigate edge cases, and perform multi-system troubleshooting when the AI inevitably encounters a scenario it cannot resolve.
But you obviously can't hand a traditional call center worker a PDF manual on a Friday and expect them to be a complexity resolver on Monday.
Definitely not.
The training methodology has to evolve to match the technology. SimTrain is a great example of this shift in the wild. We are moving away from static training modules into continuous AI-powered role-play simulations.
It's incredible tech.
And these aren't just generic upset customer scenarios. The platform generates dynamic simulations based directly on real recent quality assurance data. Employees are essentially practicing the exact complex scenarios where the bot architecture failed the day before.
It's a closed loop system of highly targeted microlearning. And as the human role elevates, we are seeing entirely new career taxonomies emerge.
Yeah.
We now have the agentic manager.
Managing the bots.
Yes. Their specific function is to supervise hybrid teams of human workers and autonomous bots, ensuring operational continuity. Then there is the knowledge architect, the specialist responsible for designing and maintaining those data molecules we talked about.
Which is a huge job.
It is. And HR's mandate has radically shifted too. They are no longer recruiting for typing speed or basic software familiarity. They are actively hunting for candidates with exceptional emotional intelligence and resilience.
Why EQ?
Because EQ is the primary trait required to solve the problems that deterministic machines cannot.
As fascinating as these new hybrid teams are, there is a massive regulatory reckoning happening simultaneously. The European Union's AI Act has a full compliance deadline of June 2026.
A huge deadline.
And it essentially slams the brakes on the Wild West era of unregulated enterprise AI.
The EU AI Act is a watershed moment. It introduces a very strict risk-based classification system. If you're operating within the EU or interacting with EU citizens, compliance is not optional, and it forces companies to deeply audit exactly how and where they are deploying these models.
One of the most disruptive elements of this legislation is the emotion ban. This goes straight to the heart of workplace surveillance and privacy. Companies can no longer use AI to recognize or infer emotions in the workplace.
It changes everything for QA.
It really does. That means vocal analysis software designed to detect if a call center employee sounds frustrated is now illegal. Using facial recognition through a webcam to gauge a remote worker's empathy or engagement is banned entirely.
The act also heavily regulates what it classifies as high-risk systems. If an enterprise is utilizing an algorithm for recruiting or for evaluating ongoing employee performance, that is now a high-risk deployment.
Which means lots of red tape.
Extreme red tape. It mandates algorithmic transparency, ongoing bias audits to ensure the models aren't discriminating based on protected characteristics, and a strict human-in-the-loop requirement. You can no longer allow a model to autonomously terminate an employee or filter out a candidate without human oversight.
And when you look at the corporate graveyard of AI failures over the last few years, it's very clear why regulators felt compelled to step in. These aren't just theoretical risks. They are catastrophic, deeply expensive, strategic failures that serve as a blueprint for what not to do.
The historical context here is vital. The industry learned the hard way that deploying models without rigorous architectural oversight and strict human guardrails results in both financial and reputational damage.
Let's talk about some of those failures, because they are wild. Volkswagen software division CARIAD is perhaps the ultimate cautionary tale here.
That was a disaster.
They attempted a Big Bang implementation. Instead of isolating a specific use case, they tried to build a universal AI architecture over the top of 200 disparate legacy systems simultaneously.
200 systems at once. Just unbelievable.
The internal politics, the staggering technical debt, and the sheer complexity of boiling the ocean resulted in a $7.5 billion failure. Billion with a B. It is the definitive proof that enterprise AI requires starting small, aggressively validating the specific use case, and only then scaling the architecture.
And we saw similar overreach in specialized fields too. Mm-hmm. IBM's Watson for oncology famously lost the trust of the medical community. The core failure was that the model was trained on synthetic, hypothetical patient cases crafted by a small group of specialists.
Rather than real patient data.
Exactly. Rather than being trained on messy, real-world clinical data. So when deployed, its recommendations were completely disconnected from the nuanced reality of actual patient care. Doctors simply couldn't trust it.
You also have Amazon's highly publicized failure with their experimental recruiting tool.
Oh, the bias issue.
Right. The system analyzed a decade of historical hiring data, internalized the existing systemic biases, and began actively penalizing resumes that included words associated with female candidates.
It just amplified the past.
Exactly. And on the consumer front, remember McDonald's attempt to fully automate their drive-thru in 2025. It totally collapsed because the models simply couldn't handle the chaotic edge cases of reality. They couldn't reliably filter out background engine noise.
Or multiple people talking in the car.
And they completely broke down when customers made joke orders, like asking for thousands of chicken nuggets. The irony is that it got so confused, human workers had to constantly override the system, meaning the automation actually increased the human workload.
These failures all share a common denominator, a fundamental misunderstanding of the technology's limitations, and a failure to establish the correct metrics for success. Which brings us to how enterprise ROI is actually being calculated in 2026.
Right, because the old call center playbook of purely optimizing for cost reduction is dead.
The financial dynamics have fundamentally shifted. Yes, the raw cost per interaction is dropping massively. An interaction that historically cost between $5 and $25 is now executing for between 50 cents and $5.
That's a huge drop.
It is, but reducing costs is table stakes now. Everyone is doing it. The actual victory condition in 2026 is speed and what the industry calls mature deflection.
Mature deflection.
Yes. We're seeing mature deflection rates stabilizing between 40 and 70%, meaning the agentic architecture is completely resolving up to 70% of inbound volume start to finish autonomously.
But the business stakes of getting that deflection wrong are higher than they have ever been, primarily due to the threat of silent churn.
Silent churn is the silent killer.
The data indicates that 56% of consumers will completely abandon a brand after a single bad experience without ever voicing a complaint. They don't fill out a survey, they don't ask for a supervisor, they simply leave and take their lifetime value with them.
Just gone.
In 2026, the baseline expectation for average speed of answer has dropped to 28 seconds. If your architecture is clunky or your human cues are backed up and you drop below that 28-second threshold, you are bleeding millions in silent churn. AI, in this context, isn't just a cost containment tool. It is an active, aggressive mechanism for capturing lost leads and preserving revenue.
It forces the C-suite to completely reclassify customer service. It is no longer an operational cost center to be minimized. It is a primary engine for retention, loyalty, and organic growth.
So what does this all mean? We've covered massive ground today. From the counterintuitive drop in CS scores and the necessity of data basement cleanups to the rise of agent trust management, data molecules, and the severe regulatory guardrails of the EU AI Act.
It's a whole new world.
It really is. The clear through line here is that the organizations dominating in 2026 are not the ones chasing the hype. They are the ones diligently doing the unglamorous work. They are structuring their data, integrating standardized A2A protocols, and deliberately elevating their human workforce to master the complex emotional problem solving that deterministic machines still cannot touch.
And to leave you with a final thought to mull over as we look slightly past 2026, we discussed the bot invasion and the rise of consumer AI agents flooding brand channels.
Right.
If you take that concept of agentic commerce to its logical conclusion, we are rapidly approaching a reality where your personal AI agent negotiates a complex contract dispute or processes a convoluted refund with a corporate AI agent entirely in the background while you sleep.
That is wild to think about.
Two algorithms battling over the fine print on your behalf. As machine-to-machine resolution becomes the absolute standard for everyday friction, it raises a profound question about the future of business interaction. Will direct, human-to-human customer service eventually become an ultra-premium luxury? Will the simple act of talking to a real, highly emotionally intelligent person become a status symbol reserved exclusively for VIP tiers while the rest of the market is left to let their digital clones fight it out in the ether?
That is a fascinating architectural and social shift to consider, a future where human empathy is the ultimate luxury good. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take these insights, look at the architecture of the systems you interact with every day, keep questioning the hype, and as always, keep learning and staying curious. We will catch you on the next one.